Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Sunday. We have made it to Sunday. Amen. Another week. Man, what a crazy time we are in. I know that many of you are watching the news the same as we are, and what's going on overseas and in the Middle East, and prophetic being unfolded right before our very eyes. Man, what an incredible time to be a follower of Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to not be in fear. God's got our battles. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. It just seems like it's been the presence in me. God's really dealing with me about spiritual warfare, the warfare that's going on around us. I just started in our story time on Saturday night. Just started a new series of books that I'm excited about because they're fictional books, but yet it really opens our eyes to see the spiritual warfare that's going on. Excuse me. And it was by Frank Peretti. This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. I'm just started in This Present Darkness. So catch up with us on Saturday night. I don't share it the same way. I just kind of give everybody a break on Saturday instead of bombarding them with emails and text messages and messages on Facebook. And don't send out our Saturday nights. But, man, they're there. They're on our platform. You can always go back and find our books that we've read just chapter at a time as we go through on Saturday evenings. And this, I love Peretti's writings. I love the way he describes things. And in the mindset of spiritual warfare, I've done several messages just in the last few days. Actually, the last two messages that I've done, Thursday and Friday, were built around spiritual warfare, things that are going on in the heavenlies around us at all times. I had an entirely different message today that I was worried about because it was long. It was really lengthy, had a lot of notes to get through. I believe it's a very powerful message, and I had it laying right in front of me. I was going over the notes this morning, and just something in my spirit telling me that I'm not done with the spiritual warfare. I have another message laying here that I was going to continue later. We're going to continue it today. God's just kind of shuffled my feathers a little bit, and it rattles my cage sometimes, and I have to kind of regroup, so I get running a little bit late. But with that in mind, I want to share a message with you that I put together the other day called If We Would Only Be Still. Some of you are going to know some biblical reference to that very phrase, but if we would only be still. What does it mean that God will fight our battles? Now, we hear that frequently, right? Well, let God fight your battles, or God will fight your battles. That God will fight our battles means that we do not have to anguish. We don't have to be anxious. Now, I struggle with anxiety myself because I pick up the battle quite frequently on my own. We don't have to be discouraged when bad things happen in our lives, although for the most part, we usually are. When it seems a situation is hopeless or that the matter at hand is too overwhelming, we may be tempted to doubt God. I've been in that situation. I'm sure many of you have as well. But Christians must remember that no problem is beyond the scope of God's sovereign care for His children. You have to understand that. There's not a problem too big that God can't handle. There's not a problem too big that outweighs God's sovereignty over all things. He is the creator of all things. He has promised to take care of us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And my God will liberally supply, fill until full, your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's a pretty plain and simple scripture right there, right? Philippians 4:19, "And my God will liberally supply." This is in the Amplified. He will liberally supply. He'll fill it until it's full. Every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He has promised to make good plans for us, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's a promise from God. That's Jeremiah chapter 29:11. Many of us know these by heart. And He promises to love us beyond measure. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt and that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present or threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a great, great scripture. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. There's nothing, no height, no depth, no created thing that can separate us from the unlimited love of God. He loves us so deeply. Exodus 14, 14, Moses tells the children of Israel, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Man, that is a beautiful verse. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. In other words, get your hands off of it and let him handle it. Let him do it his way in his timing. We might think we can fight those battles on our own, and we might think we can fight them quicker. God sometimes delays his appearance. Sometimes he delays his action. And oftentimes we feel like maybe we can do a better job. You know, maybe God's too busy for us. That's not the case. He said, I'll fight your battles. You need only be still. Get your hands off of it and let me deal with it my way, my time, and it'll be finished. It won't continually come and attack you. At that moment, they were standing at the edge of the Red Sea. When Moses told Israel this, they were standing at the edge of the Red Sea. They were hemmed in by the sea in front of them. I mean, an ocean of water, right? And they got an army pursuing them. They can see the dust clouds from the chariots are coming right behind them. Maybe they can hear the hoofbeats. Maybe they can hear the battle cries of those Egyptian soldiers. They're right there, but they got a sea in front of them, and they can't go any further. The Israelites are in a seemingly impossible situation, but it was a situation brought on by the Lord himself. It was God who had hardened Pharaoh's heart to pursue the fleeing slaves in Exodus 14:4, verse 8. Why would God do such a thing? Because he wanted to do things his way. Yes, he let Pharaoh's heart soften. He turned them loose, said, get them out of here. But then after they got out of there, he's like, what am I doing? I need those people back. I need their labor. So he pursues them. The Bible gives some of the reasons because God wanted to make it crystal clear to Egypt that he is Lord so that he got the glory over Pharaoh in Exodus 14:4, and because God wanted to teach Israel that he was their deliverer. He wanted everybody to see who he was in this, that it had no bearing on man's power, man's decisions, man's anything, but it was God who would do all things, and he wanted everybody to see it, from the Egyptians to the Israelites. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, therefore, because of this, remember that word means, because of this, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you from their bondage. I will redeem and rescue you with an outstretched, with a vigorously powerful arm, and with great acts of judgment against Egypt, against the very enemies of God. That again, very powerful piece of scripture. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under these burdens. I'll free you from the bondage. I'll redeem you. I'll rescue you with my power, with my power, and with great acts of judgment against the enemies of God. And he is the salvation. Exodus 14, 13, then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand, be firm, be confident, and be undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. Wow. Exodus 14, 13. Very powerful passage of scripture going on here. They were incapable of escaping the situation on their own. Wasn't going to happen. They needed only to wait for God to move on their behalf. Psalms 27, 14 says, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. When we're one of his children, when we're blood bought, when we're surrendered to Jesus Christ himself, when we allow him to live inside of us, when we're filled with his Holy Spirit, all we got to do is wait. He'll take care of everything else. All we got to do is say, God, here we are, and we're waiting confidently in expectation of you to move on our behalf. The battle that appeared to be between the Egyptians and the Israelites was in reality between the Egyptians and the Lord in Exodus 14:4. I will harden. I will make stubborn, defiant Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all of his army. And the Egyptians shall know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord. And they did so. That's exactly what happened. The lessons believers can learn from the Exodus account can be powerful and life-changing. When Christians trust God to fight their battles, it enables them to circumvent what often accompanies conflict: panic, fear, and hopelessness. When we're attacked, when we're come against, when we feel like we're in the midst of a battle that we can't handle, we're full of panic, we're full of fear, and we're full of hopelessness. And God says, don't be. If you'll let me fight your battle, all you got to do is be still and let me handle it. Exodus 14, 11 through 12. Then they said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What is this that you have done to bring us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? For if you would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians as slaves than to die in the wilderness." Now, I want you to take note right here. God's delivering them. He said, "I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take you out from under this bondage." And here we go with the whining and the crying. You ever been there? I've done it. I've done it. But God, you know, my woe is me's. There are times when we can see absolutely no way around a problem. Recently, for me, there's no way around this problem. Just like Israel, when they were concerned or cornered, it's quite probable not one of the Israelites ever imagined that the massive sea was going to split down the middle, providing their way of escape. I probably wouldn't have been thinking along those lines. I'd have been looking for a boat. I'd have been looking for a stick to float on. I'd have been looking for a way to get me across the water. Probably wouldn't have been thinking about the water splitting and rolling back and walking across it on dry ground. That probably would have been the farthest thought from my mind, as I'm sure it was for them as well. See, there are times when we can absolutely see no way out of a problem. When we learn no battle is too formidable or too monumental for God to handle. Christians believe God's word in 2 Chronicles 20:17. It says, "You need not fight in this battle. Take your positions, stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." God gives promises like this. We might not be able to see around the problem. We might not be able to see, just like Israel did, that no idea that he was going to split the ocean. But listen, we need not fight in this battle. Take your position. Stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. He'll provide the way when we trust him. We learn that no battle is too formidable or monumental for God to handle. Joshua 1:5 says, "No man will be able to stand before you, to oppose you, as long as you live. Just as I was present with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail or abandon you." This is Joshua telling the people of Israel after Moses is gone. I mean, he's going to lead them into the promised land. He's, don't fear. Don't get all down. Don't get dismayed. I'm going to be here with you, and I'm going to lead you through this into the promised land. Moses gives a review of some of Israel's history in Deuteronomy chapter 1. In his recap, he reminds them of the importance of having courage and trusting God, even at the edge of the promised land. They weren't quite there yet. Don't let down your guard. Don't quit trusting him. You might can see the victory, but you don't know how you're going to get there. There might be a Red Sea between you and what God's promised you, and no way for you to figure it out. Maybe you can't swim. Maybe you're afraid of water. And look at what God does. He parts that Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground out of the hands of the Egyptians. Now here they are standing with the promised land right there. Moses is gone. Moses can't go into the promised land. Joshua's going to lead them in. And there's much to be gained, but there's much to be trusted in the process. 40 years earlier, the Israelites had spied out the land and concluded that they were unable to go up against the Canaanites, who were too big and too strong. Due to the generation's lack of faith, they were not allowed to enter the promised land. That's why they wandered for 40 years in the desert, because the ones who doubted that God could deliver that land to them weren't going to get to receive it. They weren't going to go. It was their descendants You can see that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 31 through 33. Moses tells the new generation to avoid their father's lack of trust. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. And God's people obeyed in faith. They would triumph at every turn. Victory rests with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Victory rests with the Lord. When we trust him, when we obey him, when we walk in faith, we will see triumph. We will see victory at every turn in our life. Israel, like many Christians today, had forgotten the previous battles that God had fought for them all along the way. You know, I stand and look at some of the teachings about God's people in Israel, and I think, man, what a bunch of idiots. I mean, they were seeing the miraculous things of God right in front of them. I mean, from the get-go, miraculous, crazy things happening. The manna from heaven, the water from a rock, the Red Sea parting all on its own. I mean, that's crazy. How could they deny or doubt God's power? But yet we in the same term see many of those same types of miraculous things happen as God opens doors and God moves things around and he shuffles things and he provides for us and he blesses us. And yet oftentimes we still find ourselves in that same place of doubt, not truly understanding who God really is in our lives. Israel, like many of us, forget these previous battles that God has fought, and he's done so for them all along the way. God's fought your battles since before you were born in, or formed in your mother's womb. The Bible says he'd already set you apart to be a voice to the nation. He's already been fighting those battles. All you have to do is be still. Just watch what's going to happen. Just let me fight your battles for you and quit interrupting me. Quit whining. Quit crying. I'm preaching to me right now. I go through some struggles right now, and I'm finding this message hammering on me right now. The Israelite spies had seen giants. They'd seen these huge giants in the lands. We see this in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And just like Christians today, giant obstacles stand before us, complications, problems that seem too large to conquer. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's a mental capacity. Maybe it's a financial matter. Maybe it's a family matter. Maybe it's a relationship matter. But we're seeing this giant obstacle that we don't know how to overcome. I don't see any way around it. God's saying, man, if you just be still, if you just be still, if we would only be still. To let the giant steal our faith only leaves defeat and a lack of assurance in the God who is in control of every problem in spite of its size. What looms large to us is nothing to God. What looks like a disaster in our mind isn't anything to God. Maybe it's a glass of spilt milk. But what looks like there's absolutely no way out for us, God's got a plan. He'll part the water that we walk across on dry ground. Not only that, but then he closes the water back over our enemies so that they can't continue to pursue us. You realize that's what happened there. What an incredible story. What an incredible, miraculous story of not only God delivering his people, but destroying their enemy. Whew, that's big. Somebody needs to catch that one this morning. Find my place here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. God is in control, but that does not mean Christians get to avoid the battles. Just because we're a follower of Christ doesn't mean it's going to be peaches and cream. Most often it means that there's going to be fire and there's going to be trouble. Because we believe in him and we have a world system who is against him, we're not going to be able to avoid the battle. In fact, the Bible states in the opposite in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12, indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be hunted and persecuted because of their faith. Listen, living a life for Christ is not going to be easy in these last days that we are in, and I believe we are in them now. We see the battles looming. We see the rockets firing. We see the drone attacks. We see the things going on in the Middle East. We see the problems that we have in the U.S., the effects that the Middle East is having on our, even on our own society here. The challenge is real. The fights are real. The battles will not be evaded. We will have to fight many battles, especially when we are yoked with the Lord. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Suffering produces endurance. When we fight through the battles, we may become battle weary, we may become stressed, we may become tired, but when we see the victories that God's providing, it gives us hope, it gives us strength, it gives us encouragement. So when we suffer, it produces our endurance, and endurance, it produces our character. We become warriors, willing not only to fight, but knowing we're going to win. And then character producing that hope that God's got every battle that we will face. In order for a believer to live a life of endurance, character, and hope, we must put on our armor. We've talked a lot about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. We've got to trust the deliverer. We put no confidence in the flesh in Philippians 3, 3. Our confidence is in God, who will fight our battles and bring us safely home. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 through 25 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling into sin, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, the majesty, dominion, and power of all time, and now and forever. Amen." Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Man, what a beautiful thought. Don't put your trust in mechanical things. Don't put your trust in ideas of how you can handle things. Put your trust in the Lord your God. And remember, if we would only be still, God will destroy our enemies. God will fight our battles. God will deliver us out of the evil if we will only be still and let him. Get your hands off the problem and let God handle it his way. Trust him. Don't be silent in this. Be talking to the Lord. Be praising God for delivering you out of the troubles that you are in, because his plan's coming. He will deliver us from the struggles and of the problems of this world, but it's in his timing and it's in his way of doing things. May not quite fit ours, but we have to trust him. No matter the trial, no matter the tribulation that we face in front of us today, no matter the fears that come, the media is good at stirring up the fear. But if we will only be still, we'll see the victory. If we'll only be still, Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. What a beautiful verse. That's a refrigerator prayer for you. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for following our podcast, supporting us, praying with us, journeying with us on this adventure that we are on today. May God bless you. Ron and I are praying for you. Thank you for praying for us. Please continue to do so. Man, the battle's heating up. The enemy's prowling about, roaring like a big lion. You can hear him roaring all the time. I heard I think it was Mark Batterson last night. We watched him a little bit on TBN last night, and he talked about running towards the roar. The enemy's out there. He's prowling around. He's roaring like a lion. Don't run from him. He can't touch you. Run towards him with the word of God, with your sword of the Spirit, your shield of faith, and watch what God can do in the battles that you face today. Amen. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.